We'll say nothing great can be seen as great without a great introduction. And it needs a great introduction. And Rabbi Shapiro is obviously very, very close to my heart. Someone who I really wish to be able to hear this morning. I listened to Rabbi Shapiro's shir. It was a Purim shir about unity in Purim. 2 days ago, I listened to the shir on Parshas Vayakel from last year. To be able to hear from Rabbi Shapiro, every word that you hear is golden, is a gift, is an opportunity. Please, everyone, please give your undivided attention. It's such an honor to hear from Rabbi Shapiro.
I'm very honored to be in the yeshiva for many reasons, and I'm truly honored to be able to speak to you. I hope you enjoy and I hope you connect with the words I want to share with you. But the biggest reason that I'm honored is I'm very grateful to Rabbi Zakheim, to Rabbi Moshe, for his friendship. He's a person that I truly love, and I can say with an Ava Rabba and an Ava Snefesh, a love from within my heart and my neshama. But the biggest reason, and I'm sorry if I get emotional, I happen to be, and thank you Rabbi Edelman for driving me, and I know Rabbi Edelman is still going to be driving, thank you, and it's great to be here. But the biggest reason that I'm excited, and again, apologize if I get emotional, my family has a very deep relationship with the Zakheim Mishpacha. Obviously, the yeshiva is named after Reb Shlomo Zakheim, Rabbi Zakheim's father. One of the greatest honors and privileges I've ever had in my life was knowing him. I could tell you, in so many ways, I'm a better person because of my relationship with Reb Shlomo Zakheim. Baruch Hashem, our relationship continued with his family, with Reb Moshe Zakheim's mother, Dr. Fagi Zakheim, and really all of the siblings. Our families, just to give you an idea of how close they are, this past Shabbos we were together, and a person announced, there's 1,000 people, everyone's at a different table, don't switch tables unless you're switching to be with family. And I told my wife, okay, that means we could switch and move to the Zakheim table. We're one family. And so for me to be here and to speak in a yeshiva that's named for him, I can't even tell you what that does for me. And so I hope these words will be le'ilui nishmasei in his memory, and I hope these words will also be as a schus for his entire mishpacha. And I could never thank you enough, Reb Moshe, for allowing me to be here. About a few years ago, I got called from a Rebbe who had 17 kids in his class. And he said to me, we're coming to Miami to have a fun type of trip. I know you're really busy. Can I bring the 17 to you so that you can speak to them? It happens to be that it was one of the busiest weeks that I was having. I found 15 minutes from 7:45 to 8 o'clock on a Tuesday that I was able to give him. So I gave him that 15 minute slot. I felt badly that it wasn't longer, but that's literally all I was able to do. I come to my shul, I'm a Rav in North Miami Beach, as you heard Reb Moshe said so beautifully, the Zakheim Mishpacha, Dr. Zakheim and her children, they come to North Miami Beach. We're able to be family that's together. I come to my shul, and the guy says to me, the Rebbe says, I hope you don't mind that all of them showed up. So I said, okay, I'm not a numbers guy. How many are here? And he said, one. I said, one? What happened to the other 16? They chose to go to Bayside banana boating. And he said, 16 out of 17 are going banana boating instead of coming? I was a little bit, wasn't the happiest camper. I said, you know what, let me speak to this one kid. Now, a lot of these boys were on different levels and struggling with different things. That's not the point of the story, the point I'll get to in a minute. I changed my whole speech to speak with him. I faced him one-on-one, and I had a heart-to-heart conversation with him. I basically told him something that my father, Zatzal, always said, and that's really my message to you. I don't know really any of you, but my message could be universal. Hashem is not in the wholesale business, he's in the retail business. And that means sometimes we get so caught up in the greater picture, the big picture, we forget that if I do one Shabbos, one daf, one mishnah, one pasuk, one chesed, one tefillah, one I'm sorry, that's a game changer. And I take that message with me around the world where I'm privileged to travel. So this is the message I shared with the kid. A teenager. The next day I really wanted to know, keep in mind it was Wednesday, did I have any impact on the kid? So I called up the Rebbe and I said, how you doing? Did he like it? You know, 16 chose boating instead of me. That hurt, but did the kid like it? He said, oh, he loved it. I said, was there something in particular? He said, yes, it was the cat. I said, cat? I didn't even speak about a cat. He said, no, not you. Outside your shul, there's a cat. I said, yeah. He said, he loves cats. So for about an hour and a half, after you spoke with him, he stayed on the bench and he was playing and, you know, petting the cat. I said, was there anything about me that was memorable? He said, no, he liked the cat. I stayed back for that. Friday, I was getting ready for the Project Inspire convention, not the one of this Shabbos, but a couple years ago, my phone rang. I picked it up, and the Rebbe, that one who bought me the one instead of 17, introduced himself. And as soon as he introduced himself, I was so upset for what happened, I blurted out, the cat's not for sale! I was ready to hang up. He says to me, hey, chill. Remember the one boy, you remember we spoke to him about? I said, I do. He tells me these words. He has been struggling and has not kept the proper Shabbos in 10 years. He buzzed out of Shabbos for a decade. But he just remembered what you said about retail, not wholesale, that everything counts. He called me not 10 minutes ago and said, Rebbe, can I come to you for this Shabbos so I keep it properly? So I want you to know that one boy took your retail words seriously, and he's coming to me for the first Shabbos in over 10 years. I learned a great lesson from that story. Hashem is truly in the retail business. So he kept one Shabbos, and he learned only one blot, or one pasuk, or one amen. For that, you're a ben olam haba. And everyone can achieve that extraordinary potential. Subsequently, in case you want to know what happened to the cat, at first I made it with that speech which went viral, got hundreds of thousands of hits. You can watch it on Torah anytime. It's called The Cat in Miami. I made it the most popular cat in the country. Since then, the cat's not there anymore, but the story remains with me forever. People can achieve extraordinary things with one decision. That's all it takes. You know, it's interesting. There's a most famous quote, Yesh koina olamoy b'sha'achas, which people like translating as, you could acquire your world in 1 hour. There's a famous rule from Reb Tzadok that you translate a word the way it's used the first time in the Torah. I'm curious, anybody aware? The word sha'a, the first time it's ever used in the Torah. Where is it? And it doesn't mean an hour. By the carbon of Kayin that was rejected, the Pasuk says, Ve'el Kayin ve'el minchosai loy sha'a. To Kayin and his carbon, he didn't turn. So what does a sha'a really mean? A sha'a correctly means a turn. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. Yesh koina olamai b'sha'achas. You could acquire your whole world in one turn. That kid acquired his world with a cat and one Shabbos. And if there's anything that you take out of my words, I'm asking the almost 30 of you and the Rabbein to realize, everyone on their own level, Yesh koina olamai b'sha'achas. I'm challenging you, I'm allowed to challenge you. Take the one turn. The one step. There's nothing small or inconsequential. It might be that decision that you make, like I said already twice, the extra Gemara, the extra Mishnah, the extra, whatever it is, you have to live with that idea. The Mir Mashkiach, which means Rabbi Yeruchel Lubavitz used to say, shame on a person if he doesn't know his chesroinus. Because if you don't know your faults, you're never going to change. But it's a tragedy if you don't know your milos. Because if you don't know how good you are, then you'll never achieve your potential. And I'm going to say that elevator pitch again. To not know your chesroinus and how you have a deficiency or a fault, that's bad. But not to know your mila, how special and extraordinary you are, that's a tragedy. And I hope that everybody, myself included, realizes we have milas, and it's that one sha'ah, that one turn, that one step, that one cat in Miami that helped change the trajectory for that kid. You just have to believe. There was a family in the northern part of Israel that was involved in Kirov called Lev La'achem. They had a beautiful family, including a little boy who turned three. You're aware that when a boy turns three, they have an upsharon. I'm so sorry to tell you, I apologize. In the morning, he went for his upsharon. When you go to cheder, they wrap a boy in a talus so that his eyes only see purity and not anything impure. And then they give him the haircut, and he licks the letters, the honey, the everything. Torah is so sweet. He went to cheder that day. He wasn't feeling well. He went to lie down on a little mat, and he died in his sleep on his third birthday. At night when they buried him, they buried someone in Israel wrapped in a talus. The family told me our three-year-old started his day and wrapped in a talus, and he ended his day wrapped in a talus. The family was sitting Shiva. And in the middle of the Shiva, one day, the rabbi was surrounded by a group of men. He was told he had a phone call. So he went to the phone, he came back, and he was crying. And they asked him, who was it? So he said, I'm working on being Makariv, eight boys. Eight boys, they don't keep Shabbos. This one just told me on the phone, Rabbi, we heard your three-year-old died on his third birthday. Me and the other seven, we're going to keep Shabbat this week in memory of your son. So I'm crying tears of joy. Somebody sitting there at the Shiva house leaned forward like this and said something incredibly senseless and dumb. And he said to the rabbi, is that really a big deal? Meaning they'll keep Shabbos, but they probably won't keep another one. They'll keep Shabbos, but like it's a one and done. Is that such a big deal that you're getting so emotional? And the guy whose son died stood up as I am like this and said, you want me to answer if it's a big deal that it's a one and done? Do you know what I would do to have my three-year-old back for one Shabbos? Do you know what I would give up to have my three-year-old squeeze my hand, walk me home from shul, and sit on my knee as I sing Friday night Zmiris? Do you know what I would give up to have him back for one Shabbos? My wife's in the kitchen. Do you know what she would give up to have our three-year-old back for one Shabbos? She's in the kitchen. Why don't you go ask her? We'd give up everything to have our son back for one Shabbos. And now God's getting back eight of his children for one Shabbos. And you don't think it's a big deal? Buddy, go ask my wife. And she'll tell you it's a big deal. Hashem is getting back eight children for one Shabbat? Ze big deal. And if any of you are questioning me, I'll give you the number of this couple in the northern part of Israel. And that's what my father meant. Every Shah Every turn, every decision, Zed, big deal. And everything that we do to Hashem, who's in the retail business, shakes heaven. And if you ever doubt me, remind me to give you the number of the man so he could tell you, Zed, big deal. There's a famous story that Rav Huttner, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, got into a taxi with a Rebbe of his, Rav Shimon Goldstein. And some driver was taking them, and he looks in the rearview mirror and he sees Rav Huttner. He doesn't know Rav Huttner, but he sees it's a big kush of a rabbi. He opens up the glove compartment, the front of the car. He takes out a cap. He doesn't want to be bareheaded. And he puts it on his head. Rav Huttner turns to Rav Shimon Goldstein, seeing that the guy put the cap on his head, and says these words, Mi yodea kama schar yesh loy al tenuazu. Wow! How much reward this guy got for what he did. And Rav Shimon Goldstein said to Rav Huttner, what? The guy put a cap on? Like, what? Rav Huttner answered, years ago, the Ger Rebbe, the Chedusha Harim, imagine he would walk from this point to that point. But he instead took a circuitous route by a railroad station. And those who accompanied him on the walk said to the Rebbe, Rebbe Shemaya, the Chedusha Harim, why are you going such a circuitous route? And he said, because every day I take that path, there are these big bovans, which means big people whose only job is to take the luggage off the train and on the train and off the train and on the train. Yet whenever I pass by, they see me, they stand at attention like this, they stand with respect, and they say in Yiddish, the Rebbe de Bitschermeyer kimmt, the Rebbe de Bitschermeyer kimmt, the Ger Rebbe is coming, let's stand at respect. So I take the circuitous route to give them that schus and that mitzvah. And then he said, because of the schar and the olam haba they get for just that. And you wonder, what do these guys do? Luggage on, luggage off? The answer is, Hashem's in the retail business. The answer is what Rav Huttner told Rav Shimon Goldstein, this taxi driver put a cap on his bare head, mi yodea kama schar yesh loyal tenu azu. You get schar for everything. I try taking this message with me around the planet because sometimes if a person starts questioning themselves or having it, whatever it is, everything, every shah, every turn is a chance to acquire Olam Haba. It's what the Ger Rebbe said. It's what Rav Huttner said. It's what I learned from the cat in Miami. And it's what, if you want, I'll give you the number of the couple who said, God's getting 8 kids for one Shabbat. Is that no big deal? There was a bacher who, I'm sorry, before he was a bacher, it was a non-religious family and a non-religious son. And he goes off to Eretz Yisrael, I think it was to Eishat Torah or Sameach, and he became religious. When he came back, he was a fine yeshiva bacher, like the ones I'm speaking to now. And the father says to the son, the father wasn't religious, he says, son, let's learn that, the Talmud stuff. He says, Dad, Gemara? He says, yeah, let's learn the Gemara. He says, Dad, no, I'm religious, you're not. We could start with something basic, elementary, but not Gemara. He says, no, I want to learn Gemara with you. And not only that, I want to have that party at the end. He says, you mean a seum? Yep, let's learn. The father and son learn together 3 days a week, a couple hours each session. What is that a week? 5-6 hours? At the end of a year, you do the math, what is that? A few hundred hours. And at the end of the year, they finished one daf. Today in Daf Yomi, people finish a daf between here and the exit sign. And it took them a year. The father says to the religious son, all right, I'm ready for the party. He says, Dad, that's on a masechta, not a page. He says, I want a party. That night, they didn't know what to do. The son, write down and say from Nachasu. The son went to the Gavul Hadar Reb Moshe Feinstein and said, what should I do? Reb Moshe said, what should you do? Make a seal. Make it big. Make it grand. And I'm coming. And Reb Moshe came to the seal on one daf. I'm told it was a seal that was off the charts, extraordinary. And Reb Moshe was there. Everybody goes home and goes to sleep. Unfortunately, that man died in his sleep. The next morning, there was a levaya of the man who finished the daf, and he went to bed healthy. Bad news travels, and Reb Moshe Feinstein found out, and he said, I'm coming to the levaya. And Reb Moshe got up to speak. And this, my dear friends, or should I say family, is what Reb Moshe Feinstein said about the man, and I quote, Yesh kaina oilamai b'sha'achas. Some people acquire their world in 1 hour or one turn. And I'm saying, says Reb Moshe, Yesh kaina oilamai b'da'achas. Some people acquire their whole world with one daf. And that man was a Ben Olam Haba with his daf, his one daf. For that one daf, Yesh Koina Olamai B'daf Achas. I'd like to give you the challenge I mentioned a few moments ago. I'd love to speak longer. I actually have to start leaving, but let me at least give you a bracha. My coming was worth it just to be with my family, the Zakheims. But it will be made even more meaningful if you remember there's a guy from Miami who said, Hashem is in the retail business. And if I push myself to do one more daf, or one more amen, or one more taisus, or one more mincha, or one more Shabbos, or one more shnayim mechatago, or one more siyum, you're a ben olam haba. Remember what Rav Huttner said, Yesh, kamaskar yesh le'al tenuazu. I learned it because 16 guys went boating and one kid came and he became a Shomer Shabbos from it. How do you think I felt after when I learned that lesson? If there will be people who hear the words coming out of my mouth and as a result will choose to realize Yesh Koina Olomi B'Shah Achas, that one turn, that one step, that one decision, that is truly how you become a gadol, period. And remember most importantly, as I told you from the couple in the northern part of Israel, if you ever doubt, like I'm mamish pushing myself to get this rajba, I'm mamish pushing myself to understand doisus, I am mamish pushing myself to get the rajbas on time. Is it a big deal? Zeh big deal. Zeh big deal. And you should be zeichet to believe the words that I said. You should be zeichet to take the daf, take the shah, take the turn, make the decision, and remember it's a big deal. May you always give nachas to yourselves, to your abeyim, and most importantly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you so much for listening.